Events like this are concocted on purpose in order to distract from the real problem, which is that the system, their system, is at its ending, it's finished.
I think we have some pain to experience because I just don't think enough people are there. I don't think it happens without a lot of work and a lot of pain and a lot of new adoption coming.
0.5% of society sitting over here in Bitcoin looking at everyone else, the lifeboat off the Titanic that's sinking, and we're all here yelling at the people in the Titanic, get off the boat, get into our lifeboat, and then people are fighting us.
You have to kill the fiat system for to have any chance of rebuilding humanity in the way that is no longer corruptible by criminals and psychopaths. That is the world I am praying I live long enough to see.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. As always, I have Tony with me, and our special guest today is Brandon Gentile. Brandon, thanks for joining, man. Let's jump right into the news. So first news story is, I think, just an obvious one. We're going to talk about Israel, Iran. Is World War III coming? Does Bitcoin fix this? Brandon, I feel like everyone's kind of gathering their thoughts on what's going on, but if you want to just sort of frame where your head's at the moment, kind of give what you're thinking, I'd love to hear it. Then we can just kind of riff on that for a minute.
Yeah, you said this offline, is very predictable. You can see these things coming from a mile away. The bankers' wars, right? I mean, all these things are just so predictable. You can see. I mean, they're telegraphed. I feel like much more nowadays in a way because everything's so financialized that you have like the central banks a lot of times where the Jerome Powells of the world like just telegraphing these things, kind of telling you they're not lying a lot of times, right? Like if you kind of read between the lines, you do really just kind of pay attention and sit down for a few minutes and watch these guys. They're telling you what's happening because things are riding on a knife's edge either way. So it really is fascinating. One of the guys I used to watch for a long time was Gregory Manarino, and it's funny, and he kind of gets it to a degree, I think, where he's like, there's a solution. But you can still see all these people trying to fit everything like round peg, square hole it, and trying to fix the system from the current system. As we know, as Bitcoiners know, I mean, Jeff Booth talks about this all the time. You cannot do that. It's impossible. And so you got to strengthen the dollar. You can't be weakening the dollar. He's going at J.D. Vance and Donald Trump, which I don't think they're the greatest guys in the world. They're no gods, obviously, right? And they're just men. And they're doing all they can do, kind of like Nixon. I mean, Nixon, he was pinned into a corner. What else are you going to do? I guess at the end of the day, let things collapse, or are you going to take the gold off, or that dollar off gold? I don't know what you do in these situations, but needless to say, he's thinking that there's a solution. And no, we need to increase the strength of the dollar. We need to bring manufacturing truly back here. And it's just like you got to like look around and laugh as a Bitcoiner because you're kind of sitting there thinking like none of these things work. I mean, we've tried all these things. Like dollar really strong, dollar really weak. Everyone gets hurt. I mean, no matter which way you look, people get hurt. And so that's the irony in all of it. And that's where I think as Bitcoiners, we were just talking briefly offline again, Bitcoin is the solution. It's the only free market we have in the world. And it's repricing everything right now in real time. And people are waiting for like this moment where it's going to just outright stop wars, or it's going to do all these things, or like we get it all the time, right? Like, well, can I use Bitcoin at a grocery store? None of these things are happening, guys. Like they're not going to stop a war immediately. And we can't buy things at a grocery store, every single grocery store right the second, because these things take time. It takes time for these things to happen. Now, is it speeding up? Yeah, it took gold hundreds and hundreds of years for consensus around the world. And it's only been 16. And here we are talking about this stuff. It's over a $2 trillion market cap, Bitcoin is. So things are happening much quicker, but it does, as we alluded to earlier, it does remove this ability for central banks to be printing endless amounts of currency, stealing it from the people, and then sending the boys and girls to war. It constrains and restricts the central bankers and the people at the top from doing that. And we have to admit that. We have to see that. And the answer doesn't come from within this system trying to strengthen the dollar or weaken it. That's all. It's all fool's errand at the end of the day. And the only option is to move to a new system. We know the system's collapsing. I mean, that's the thing that's really crazy. Everyone looks at the average person knows, hey, Social Security is at a problem, Medicare, like all these entitlement programs, whatever they might be, or things that people consider entitlements or not, they all know they're insolvent or going bankrupt in the next 10 years. Like everyone, I mean, you can't find a person that doesn't really understand that or know that, but yet everyone wants to do the same thing still. That to me is the definition of insanity, continuing to go down that path when you know that's the wrong answer. So at this point, the only answer to me
is you have to move to a new system. So anyway, that's kind of my quick thoughts on all of that. Just kind of laughing, seeing Gregory Mandarino, all these people saying this is predictable, going at Trump, backing Trump. And it's just, it's all fool's errand. It's all completely fake. And the people that are, you know, the 0.5% of society sitting over here in Bitcoin, looking at everyone else, the lifeboat off the Titanic that's sinking. And we're all here yelling at the people in the Titanic, get off the boat, get into our lifeboat. And then people are fighting us while the ship's listing. And they're like screaming back at us, like, good luck in that little life raft. Wild times.
Yeah. Crazy. Tony. I can imagine you have a lot of thoughts on this. And I think this sort of underscores the importance of Bitcoin used as money. It's like I always say, like, if militaries aren't using Bitcoin to buy fighter jets, we're just going to see a continuation of this. And so its existence in the world doesn't magically fix everything. It's utilizing Bitcoin. And to Brandon's point, it's that it takes time to get there. But like, we need to begin applying our demand for Bitcoin as currency and enforce others into the game. I'd be curious to hear where your head's at on all of this.
Man, my thoughts about this topic can go on for months if we were to have a conversation about this. But obviously, you know, we're going to sum it up real quick. I grew up, when I was a very little kid, you know, I grew up through the civil war in Lebanon. These problems are not new. These issues have been going on since like many decades ago. But it's only now that I've really understood that, you know, where it all comes from and how there is never going to be a fix for this as long as, you know, we remain within the system. These are criminals, nothing else, that have been in power for a very long time and have been abusing that power to gain more power. And who pays the price? Innocent people. Over and over again. Doesn't matter where they are geographically. It's innocent people that get killed, either physically or economically. And these problems are always going to, you know, accelerate. And we're seeing this now, except now we've reached, I think, really dangerous levels with Israel's attack on Iran now. That is like end of the world type of event. I mean, this is like literal insanity. I don't know how this is going to play out. I really hope it doesn't, you know, escalate to the point, you know, beyond the point of no return. Because if it does, that's game over, man. I mean, these things will become so out of control, you won't even know where to go anymore. And that region over there, God help anyone who's still stuck living in there, because, you know, the repercussions of everything that's about to go down, if it does, are beyond imagination. These people need to be stripped of their power entirely. They're all bad. No matter which side it's on, doesn't really matter. Remove the politics. All these players, these are psychopaths, criminals. You understand? There's none of them with any good intentions on any level. So it doesn't matter what side you're on. Both sides have to go. And now, since 2008, there is an option to bankrupt and neuter that entire team of crazy people. But the world needs to adopt it, believe that it's actually the solution, and not keep looking left and then right and then bouncing back to left and right, you know, going nowhere. So it's exactly like you said, Brandon, there is no fix for this system from within the existing system. They're incompatible. It's like oil and water. So either way, man, whether it's physically or economically, if this thing escalates, people are going to get decimated in one form of it or another. And it's very heartbreaking to watch, because the ramifications of this, you know, aren't isolated to that area. You will see them spread all the way to the U.S. Like, if you think inflation is bad now, just wait where, you know, you end up having, you know, the high double-digit inflations and not these bullshit numbers of 2.4 and 2.5 that they publish, you know, every 2-3 days, thinking you guys are dumb enough to believe it, right? Just walk into any store and you'll see that this is the farthest thing from the truth. Events like this are concocted on purpose in order to distract from the real problem, which is that the system, their system, is at its ending, it's finished. So that you don't pay attention to it, they put out these crazy wars so that it's an even bigger problem to worry about, you know, and it's a never-ending calamity. It has to stop. And the only way to stop it is if enough of us do something. And by opting out of the money that is fueling these heinous acts. That's it.
Yeah, I don't think I have much to add. I mean, our hearts go out to the innocent people who, Tony, you talk about, who are paying the price for the insanity of a system of very broken incentives. So hopefully it stops. Unfortunately, the money printer can prolong it as long as there's political willpower to do so. Let's jump into, sort of related, the U.S. debt costs have now topped defense spending as interest hits $1.1 trillion on U.S. debt. So I think it was a month or so ago, Tony, we talked on Banter. I think we did. Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense, got his $1 trillion military budget. Okay, so like the United States has, in my view, and after talking with former DOD workers, like no credible threats in the amount that we spend still continues to increase, as though China's about to pull off a land invasion of the United States with two oceans between us and is their most significant trading partner. And yet, in spite of all of that and the fear-mongering that happens, we have U.S. debt hitting record highs and topping the military. Like, you could at least make a compelling case that, well, there's a material good that comes from defense spending. Debt costs are there's no value gleaned from debt costs, and our potholes in our streets aren't fixed, and so they're obviously not using that money for anything that impacts us, you know, is to our benefit in our daily lives. Tony, I imagine this is sort of what Lebanon felt like, you know, in those final days, months, weeks, you know, leading up to the collapse. What's your take here?
It's the exact same movie. I've said it on almost every podcast I've been in. It's the same script. It's not even funny. You know, it's like watching a movie on rewind, just in a different country now. This is terrible, man. I mean, we can keep repeating that same, you know, speech over and over again, but until people react to it in the way you want them to, nothing is going to change. Like, I mean, you expected Doge to work. Like, I mean, realistically, did you really think it had a chance in hell, considering the extreme rot that is going on in the U.S. government? I mean, if your interest rates now exceed your budget for the military, for a threat that is an imaginary one, right? Like, how does logically any of this make sense? And how in the world do you expect them to repay it? Like, if you try to formulate every mathematical formula, you will always hit a brick wall. There is no answer to this. It's finished. So this is going to translate into crazy prices, inflation, hyperinflation. It's going to translate into massive pain, and it risks translating into the one thing I fear the most, which is civil insanity. Because when you have no answers and you have no money, but you still have to eat, and if you have kids to feed, well, then again, you're going to resort to the first thing that instinctively comes to your mind. And that, my friend, no human being knows what they're capable of unless they are put in that specific position. So when the system breaks to that level, that is exactly the shoes you'll be wearing, the shoes I had to wear and witness. And by some miracle, I made it out of there. So that's my concern. We have to leave the system. Enough people have to leave the system. Most people won't, because They just won't. Either it's lack of education, whether it's fear, whether it's like they're just waiting for the government to fix it again. But you have to forget about the majority. We need enough people to make that change, which will then benefit those that are paralyzed to do it for themselves. And I'm still optimistic that we have enough momentum, especially in the Bitcoin community, through, you know, aggressive education, constant messaging, repeating the same song and dance over and over again, you know, like a broken drum. But it doesn't matter. At some point, it's going to resonate, especially as people relate to their life situation. They're going to look for an answer. And that message, hopefully, will be flashing to them as the, you know, the direction they need to take. So, brace yourself, man. We are living through the craziest movie I've ever seen.
Absolutely. Brandon, you have anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I love that you said that, Tony. I have a book that I'm working on right now. Not a long book, probably about 100 pages or something like that. Hopefully it's be out by the end of the year, but it's about Bitcoin and the American Revolution. And in the American Revolution, there's only 3% of people. And I'm pretty hell bent on the idea that it's only going to be a couple percent of people, Bitcoiners. To Tony's point, we still have work. You know, we still have a couple percent of people to go, basically, to get to that 3% number, to drag everyone else across the finish line at the end of the day, because that's the American Revolution was. It was only a couple percent of people that said, yeah, I'm done with this. They grabbed their muskets and they headed out the door and they're like, I'm not doing this. Most people, 97% of people were, you know, British loyalists. They were apathetic, you know, indifferent, didn't care. I mean, heck, they were even ratting out the American patriots that were fighting against the British. So that's what we witness nowadays. I mean, I'm careful to use Matrix quotes sometimes because they're often overused, but it's, you know, people that are helplessly inert in the system will fight you to keep that system. It's fiat creates mental illness, and that's literally what we're living through. So Tony just made me think of all that. Like, we're in a society that can't even help itself because we've been so beaten. And Stalin, you know, Lenin, they talked about all this stuff. Like, if you can break the will of a human being and you can break the will of the American people, then you can crumble them from the inside. And that's what we see. I mean, look around you. At the drop of a hat, we've got organized protests. Once again, 4 years later, magically, we have protests erupting all over the place. How is it that on a dime, things can just all of a sudden, but that's political. That's what you have when you have fiat. You have political money, or it's not money, it's political currency. You have a political currency that's controlling people by the nose for wherever they want you to go. And because you don't know how to make a living otherwise. You can't make a fair, honest, decent living. So you're subjugated really to the depths of, hey, I'll work for, or I'll protest for pay, or I'll do crazy things for pay. Look at OnlyFans, you know, like I'll do ridiculous asinine things because I can't figure out how to make a living otherwise. I mean, you kind of have to empathize with a lot of society because, like Tony said, they're brainwashed. They just don't know. They're uneducated, whatever it might be. And it's our job, a couple percent of people, to drag the rest. And so the American Revolution part was a couple percent of the people. They gained more following over time, but they dragged everyone else. And then everyone else inside the walls of America got the benefits of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. Even if they were against the revolution, or even if they were against, you know, or apathetic or indifferent, they still got the benefits of those, of that new law and of the land and in those documents. So I really feel like that's where we're headed, because after being in for, I mean, I know now 6, 7, 8 years into Bitcoin, and Pierre Rochard, I just talked to him recently on my podcast about that. And he was like, yeah, when I found it in 2012, or whatever, within the first year, I was like, it's done. Like, we got it. Like, this is amazing. Everyone's going to realize this. And here we are 12 years, 13 years later. And you kind of get that feeling as a Bitcoiner after a while of, whoa, it's not going to be many of us. There's not a lot of reinforcements coming behind us. Like, I am the reinforcement. I am the guy that's going to have to do this. I can't just sit back and let Tony do it. I can't just sit back and let Michael do it. I have to do it. Like, we have to do it. So I think that's the big thing. And you can see the rot everywhere, like we talked about with LA. It's this civil unrest is going to grow, because again, that's the only way out. It's the only way to really get ahead in a way. The Elon Trump stuff, that was very, just like we said, the wars going on in the Middle East, very predictable. They couldn't even cut waste. When you think about that, they couldn't even cut waste and fraud. I mean, you see how many people went apeshit on people that couldn't even, like, it was fake things going on. And do we all know all that for sure? No, we don't. But a lot, we know there's fraud going on. We know there's just malintent all across the system. They're trying to clean up things that don't even exist. And they are literally getting the most pushback. Can you imagine if they actually cut things that were given to people? That's insanity. So that just shows you that there's zero political appetite in this political, the currency we have in this fake system we're living in. And that it's all fake. The debt is fake. And then it makes me think of, at the end of the day, I forget who, I don't think it was Frederick Bastiat. I don't know who it was, but it was when plunder and deceit become a way of life, here we are. Like, we are living in that time when you only get ahead if you're scamming the system somehow. And whether that's, hey, I'm leveraging debt, just a more of a benign way of, I'm leveraging debt because it's the only way I can get a return, all the way up to like, hey, I'm Nancy Pelosi's stock tracker, or we're starting wars over here just to like pay my buddies off. It's a wild time we're in, but we've made our bed with the political currency over the last 112 years of the Fed. And we're laying in that bed, and we're going to have to go through some hard times until we get to this Bitcoinized world.
I agree. I think there are, I've had a lot of conversations with people who, or I've had a handful of conversations with people who disagree. One of our friends that we've had on the show, Daniel White, he's been on Banter. I've had him on the podcast. Love him. We partner with his company. But he and I have kind of gone back and forth on this. He thinks Bitcoin's like the antibody. It's healing the organs of the system. And I think we have some pain to experience because I just don't think enough people are there. I don't think it happens without a lot of work and a lot of pain and a lot of new adoption coming. But, you know, we'll, over the next 5-10 years, we'll find out who's right.
Well, the thing is, what you're seeing in LA is what I've seen in Lebanon many times. You know what this reminds me of in LA? In Lebanon, whenever a politician knew he was done or someone was about to take him out or overturn him, he would pay a bunch of thugs to go down on the streets and cause like the biggest mayhem. And like people would think, oh, they're being attacked by the bad people are now over there. And then all of a sudden they'd forget that, you know, their whole collectiveness was to take him out. So these events are the script that I was telling you about. These are the signs that the end is near. And this is just like a desperate lifeline just to hang on a little longer. But it's not going to work because eventually, you know, you have enough people that look beyond this. Yes, some people get hurt. Yes, some people get killed. But the objective is completed regardless. So don't get fooled by these distractions thinking, oh, now these are bad people over here and bad people over there. They're all commanded by the real bad people, which are up here. That's where everybody should be looking up, not left or right. Because all these left or righters, these are all puppets, you know, suckers that are being pit against each other for the benefit of these assholes up there, which is where everybody's supposed to be looking.
Break free of the tribalism, everyone. Opt out both with Bitcoin and with your mind, because I think the way you see the world impacts a lot of the other things you do that are going to then impact how we proceed and how we move forward and how we make progress toward a better future. So
really quick.
All righty, guys, we're going to take a big, what's that?
Really quick on that. I just want to say one more sentence on what Tony said. It's so important again. And like, well, both you guys, it's not left versus right, right? It's not red versus blue. It's the state versus you. And it's, you can see how right there is a good example of how strong the political currency is, a fake money, and how important that is, because you have Trump, someone that campaigned 50, 60, 80 million people in the United States were convinced this guy's coming in. He's going to root out the system, drain the swamp. Once again, he's going to cut all these things. What's happened? I mean, zero has happened. We just talked about how nothing has happened. The system won't let you. He's saying, hey, I'm going to cut $3 trillion. I'm going to cut $2 trillion, $5 trillion. And oh, by the way, here's my big, beautiful bill. It actually raises it by $8 trillion. That just goes to show you there's a less than zero appetite to actually do any of this. And it's a system where the most insidious part is, because it's a fake system built on inflation and currency printing and theft, you cannot cut anything. It's impossible. The debt ceiling is completely fake. That's not a real thing. That, like, you, if you're in an inflationary system and you try to cut something, the system implodes on itself. If you have, you know, 10 units of debt, but you know, there's only $5 or five things, you know, pieces of equity in the system, and you pay that down, there's still five units of debt left, and there's no more equity. So there's only debt in the system. It's literally impossible to pay things down because that's not the system we're in. So anyway, that's why people, like, it's not red versus blue, because one side says, I'm going to cut or I'm going to expand. It doesn't matter, because you're all expanding. You're all going to expand. It's impossible to cut anything or actually go the other direction and fix that system. So anyway, I thought it was important to just extrapolate that.
Yeah, no, as Max Kaiser says, you can't taper a Ponzi. And exactly. Speaking of Max, he reshared this tweet. So a downtown Minneapolis office tower that sold for $200 million in 2016 recently traded hands for $6.25 million, a 97% discount. And Max said, I pity anybody stuck with one of these huge, ugly office towers. And I agree. I did the math, and I wish I should have written it down. I think it was something like the equivalent of, in like 2016's average Bitcoin price, it was like the equivalent of like 200,000 coins. And now it's, what's 6.25 million. Yeah. So it's, I'm really bad at math. 10 times
60, 600.
Yeah. 600? Yeah. It's like 60. No. Yeah. It's like 62, yeah. You know, Bitcoin is now what it costs for this office tower. Part of that is obviously, I think COVID had a huge impact on that office space. I worked at an AI company for a while, and we sold into the commercial real estate businesses. And office buildings are just getting hammered right now. Some of the industrial, so, you know, multifamily, that stuff's doing okay, but like COVID really, really screwed these people. But I think the point stands that if you continue to denominate the value of real estate in Bitcoin terms, you've seen like the meme about, you know, it's like the prices are continually going down while everyone else thinks they're either getting rich if they own the real estate or they're getting poor if they're trying to afford the real estate. And it's just this crazy, like this broken measuring stick is on full display for anyone to see if they're willing to open their eyes to do it. The problem is, so many people still think Bitcoin is the Ponzi or it's the bubble or it's this speculative whatever. If you just took 10 hours to read a book or two, to learn a little bit, I think this would become much more apparent to people. Anyway, that's my take on it. Tony, what do you think about Bitcoin versus real estate?
First of all, ugly is an understatement for these buildings. I don't know anybody would pay $200 million for these things. But usually when commercial real estate starts to tank like this, that's when you know there's a big tsunami on its way. I think this is what happened in 2008, right? Now that I wasn't paying attention much back then, but you know, looking back now, the signs were there. Commercial real estate was dropping rapidly, and then the whole thing exploded. So if this is any indication of the cycle repeating itself, well, this is going to make 2008 look like a, you know, like a walk in the park. A lot of people I know still invest in real estate because they think it's the best hedge against inflation and blah, blah, and all that stuff. And maybe traditionally, you know, that's been the case. And maybe to a certain extent, it might be true. But if everything comes crashing down, like, you know, it seems to be now, it's like 97%. Holy shit, man. I wouldn't want to be the owner of that building because... That's a brutal hit. And if that's, you know, what's coming, well, you know, 2008 on repeat, what do you want me to tell you? Very bad news. Very, very bad news.
Yeah, I'll tell you, just a few years ago when I was getting into Bitcoin, like my conviction wasn't there. My understanding wasn't as complete as it is today. I was moving houses and I almost kept my old house as a rental property because I had the capital for the down payment on the new house. And I can't even tell you how grateful I am I didn't do that. And it would have been a relatively convenient place to rent. It's real close to where we didn't move far. So like I could have, it's accessible for me and everything, but like the headache, the value, everything that people think real estate is, which I understand without Bitcoin. Yeah. Okay. Maybe you do those sorts of things, but like with Bitcoin and with that understanding, it just on paper doesn't make any sense, but you need to do the work to study, to learn, to really grok it in a meaningful way before it becomes so obvious. Brandon, what do you think? I'm betting you don't own a bunch of second, third homes.
So I still have a couple of rental properties actually, but I had a bunch and I've gotten rid of most of them. And then, you know, the couple I haven't got rid of is because that was the world I came from. I mean, I've played professional hockey for a few years and I was getting hurt. And then I got into real estate in 2012, 2013. And so I, you know, started buying real estate. You know, I always tell people that real estate's like the top of the Titanic, like this, the last thing to go into the water. It's like this, it's the sexiest, it's got the best tax advantages, stuff like that, but you're still going to be 12,000 feet under the ocean. And like, it doesn't matter how many deck chairs you reshuffle, you're going to be at the bottom of the ocean, just like everyone else. And then the Bitcoiners will be on the life raft. I mean, that's literally the only way to describe it. And so it feels like real estate people feel like, ah, it's the best though. Like, what about those tax advantages? What about that cash flow? And really at the end of the day, cash flow, yield, interest, all these things are just these little hooks to keep you in that fiat system. There's little things to just kind of keep you in and say, oh, you need this though. And so that's the world we're living in. And the couple that I still have are just because of whatever, there's renters in there or tax things, like things that I'm trying to work through over time, but I've got rid of most of it because I had 10 years of doing it. But over the last 5 years, I've got rid of most of it is what I should say. So, but I could not agree with this more. There's a time and place. Like I'm still a real estate guy. I've loved real estate for 20 years, a bunch of real estate people in the family, stuff like that. But this is not the cycle to do it. And one of the big factors, and meaning like the last really 5 years or 10 years, because real estate's gone sideways against the money, the currency printing, I should say. The currency printing, stocks, everything, it's just real estate, it's all sideways against the central bank printing. And so when you see these charts, when you see that, your mind's blown. And then you realize I'm not actually increasing purchasing power like you guys alluded to earlier. I'm just
I'm just hedging the inflation, basically. And the big thing for me is the city risk or country risk. Like if you're, I mean, Robert Kiyosaki used to talk about this all the time with like gold mines and, you know, silver mines, and there's country risk, right? If you go into China, well, good luck. They just confiscate your stuff. We're seeing that at a city level. I mean, good luck. You can't even invest in half the states in the union anymore with real estate. Same thing with cities. You're dealing with cities. Like I would get things that were holes in the ground. We'd fix them all up, put tons into them. We'd raise money, fix them up, put renters in there. And then all of a sudden it like started like clockwork. We're getting like tall weed fines and garbage fines. And it's like, this was actually a detriment and eyesore to your city. And now you're like hitting me with stuff. Like I could just let this go back to the bank. I could just do something ridiculous and leave you with the mess. They don't care. And that's the whole point. Like these people get half of the people get paid off. I think the cities, they get bailouts, they get things for this kind of stuff happening. And they're coming after anyone with equity to try to bail out their city that's underwater. So there's city risk, there's state risk, there's country risk. And that's what you, and even the bigger problems, like I think Tony alluded to, was the business sector is falling apart. If you're in these huge commercial buildings, you're seeing the cracks in the business, in the economy. The Biden administration said, oh, things are great. Trump administration, oh, things are great. No, they're not, because I can look around and half these office buildings are empty or they're selling for pennies on the dollar. There's underlying massive cracks in that system. And I think at the end of the day, the, you know, AI is really amplifying this or exposing this and magnifying it for a lot of people. But people, we talk about government or a Fed creating these solutions, these top-down groupthink solutions. And that's what would be very dangerous. And that's what we've all talked about for the last 30 minutes. But Bitcoin is truly the peaceful revolution in so many ways, because that's what's actually going to slowly, in a way, I mean, slowly in the sense of just day to day, like we can't see it, but it's going to be quick when you zoom out in the macro, where it reallocates capital to where it should be going. Because like all of us, we're seeing this and we're saying, I'm not doing that. I'm not buying a commercial building. I'm not buying a rental property. I'm not doing this anymore. So this sector of real estate, I think 20 years from now, maybe it'd be great. We've kind of hit that top of the S curve on Bitcoin, whatever it is. Maybe the rate it's increasing goes down to 20-30%, like Michael Saylor says, or who knows, you know, whatever it is. And then it might make sense to get back into real estate 20 years from now, or, you know, 15, 30, 50 years from now, once society is healed. Because, and that's where I'm getting to is this, I will get back into real estate when society is healed. And for me, it's when my tenants are paying me in Bitcoin. That's when I'll know, hey, you know what? I think society is kind of healing, or it's healed. And we have a hyper Bitcoinization scenario playing out where my tenants are not paying me in Bitcoin. That's when I would feel much more comfortable. Hey, I'm going to get back into real estate. But for now, I look at it. I've taken, like I just said, most of my chips are off the table. I'm in Bitcoin. I'm in the lifeboat waiting for the thing to go down. Is there a couple percent of things I have still out there that I can't get rid of or whatever it is yet? Yeah. And that might go down the ship. And I'm okay with that. And that's, we all have to be okay with that. And everyone's got a different level of risk averseness, I guess. But that to me is the big thing, letting this play out. And then the last thing is just reallocating capital to where it's most importantly used. That's what's going to happen. That happened with farmers. Hey, what happened to the farmers? And do we have tractors now? Well, humans are humans. We adapt. We're smart. We figure it out. And it's the same thing is going to happen now with AI, with Bitcoin. It's going to realign incentives. These guys with their office buildings, they're going to fall apart. We're going to move. We're going to build new cities. And guess what? Humans figure it out. We adapt. We don't need centralized control groupthink telling us these are the new rates. This is that. This is the new government program. F off. We don't care. We have Bitcoin that's going to realign capital like us, moving our chips off the table. And then we'll take it when we have 1,000x of purchasing power in 10 years. All of us will then reallocate to smart businesses and to smart real estate, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the world we're entering right now, being repriced.
Yeah, you hit on an important point here. That's the phrase that stood out was when society heals, that's when it might make sense to go back into something like real estate. Because when you said that, that brought back memories of something that we lived through. When you have chaos and civil unrest, real estate is actually very risky for you to hold from a safety perspective. You think you own that apartment or that piece of land because you have a piece of paper with your name on it, right? But when you have seven guys with AK-47s that show up to your door and tell you to GTFO, or we're going to carry you out, what are you going to argue with them? You're going to tell them, hey, look, I have that paper. See, it has my name on it. That's not how it works. This happened to my dad, okay? So it's not a far story. land. He was driving one day and he saw three homes built on the land that was his. And so when he went up to talk to the guys, like, hey, what are you guys doing here? The guy told him, don't worry about it. Come, let's go inside and have a conversation about it and we'll figure it out. Obviously, my dad didn't go because that would have been the death sentence right there and then. And then when all hell broke loose, people were looting apartments, kicking people out, and people didn't leave. They were dragging them out in body bags. Wow. I know this is a bit like dark, but that is exactly what happens when you have chaos and insanity. And based on how things are playing out in LA, this is like your foreplay, your preview of how things can escalate on a massive scale. And if, I hope it doesn't happen, but if it happens, you better know how to shoot and shoot like with, you know, really good accuracy. Because if you don't, somebody else will. And that's not the world I want to see. So you don't want to be holding on to assets that will be worth a big fat zero unless you have an army to protect it. And most people don't have anything near an army. So we talk about these things. They sound a bit crazy to someone who's still living, you know, where the sun is shining and the roses are blooming. But we were also living in these areas and these countries. And then, you know, just like that, darkness fell, right? So if it can happen in one place, it's going to happen somewhere else, especially since they're all connected to the same cause, the bloody money. That has to go. You have to kill the fiat system for to have any chance of rebuilding humanity in the way that is no longer corruptible by criminals and psychopaths. That is the world I am praying I live long enough to see.
Well said. All righty, guys. Quick shift to a new topic. Last one for you. Public gold miner Bluebird just announced they will start to mine Bitcoin. So some of the sound money people, you know, we've got the Larry Lepards, the, you know, some of the older gold bugs who have been, you know, pounding the drum of sound money for a long time who are in Bitcoin. We've got the Peter Schiffs who, you know, probably he probably owns a bunch of Bitcoin, pretends like he doesn't, but a lot of them are still holdouts, right? You know, and for a gold miner to understand and recognize, I didn't get a chance to look at how big Bluebird is, but the fact that they began to recognize this trend and the shift, and that gold will be, you know, returned to its utility value in for industrial purposes rather than as money, I think it's one of these signposts for us, you know, and to see where the world's going. Brandon, I'll let you take this one first. What do you think the significance of something like this is?
I think it's huge. And and really quick, actually, I want to piggyback off with something that Tony said really quick, too. It's we're all human and it can happen. People don't think these bad things can happen here in America. And we're human, though. We're all human. And so these things absolutely can and will happen if we just let things devolve into chaos. So anyway, I wanted to say that because it's just very important for Americans, like we said, people that are where the sun is shining and the flowers are blooming. It doesn't mean things aren't happening right around the corner from you or in your city or outside your doorstep. We have to acknowledge that. So I think it's huge. The gold thing is massive because it's really a big signpost, I think, because for what, 50, 60 years, the higher institutions, you know, the higher education system, everything, they took gold away from everything. And it was just really out of the purview. I mean, Jim Rickards has talked about this for a long time. And you know, whether, yeah, I don't know whether he's in the inside or not. I know he's worked in the inside, but you can't ignore it because it's something that now is reinserting itself. The free market is reinserting itself back into purview. It's gold, you know, for all the paper that's out there and the kind of shenanigans that go on with that. I mean, here we are. Like, it's things are getting that bad where gold is now just continually breaking its own all-time highs. And that's kind of one of those canaries in the coal mine. Obviously, Bitcoin is going to be the fastest horse overall, like you alluded to, and Larry Lepard and a lot of these guys have said, and Peter Schiff is now slowly coming to. But I think this is massive in these legacy institutions, which are really run generally by the, we'll say 50 or, you know, probably 50 and up years old. So people that kind of know the old system, maybe had seen some past with it, but a lot of them still weren't taught it, but they're now kind of being reintroduced to this or having to recognize this now and then shifting like this. I think there was an article recently as well about the, I think Jack Mallers or somebody was showing, I don't know who it was, but it was about the historic devaluing of a dollar that's coming. And that's, again, that's why Bitcoin is
up at all-time highs and going to keep pushing further. That's why gold is as well, because people are seeing this all over the place. And this is now being recognized slowly across these the different financial channels and the legacy institutions. And it's game theory playing out at the end of the day. So it's who's going to get there fastest, who's going to go, you know, he who has the gold makes the rules. He who has the Bitcoin is absolutely going to make the rules in the coming years. And again, this is a massive canary in the coal mine that people are just whistling by the graveyard with, I think.
Yeah. Tony, any significance here to you?
Yeah. Symbolic. Whoever this gold miner is either really hates Peter Schiff or is like trolling him really well, you know, with this post. But yeah, I mean, gold miners shifting to Bitcoin, it's a very bullish sign. And almost in a way, it's like inevitable. Gold had its time and place. No one's going to ever deny that. But, you know, it's like horses had their time and place before the engine came along. We're moving forward. We're not going backwards. So we had gold. It was highly manipulated. You know, we have paper gold. It's a mess. It's definitely not scarce because, you know, they can dig up the entire planet, you know, overnight. And all of a sudden you have like a ton of gold that, you know, came out of nowhere. We have digital gold now, Bitcoin. Scarce in supply, fixed in code. Nobody can touch it. Nobody can manipulate it. That is the path forward. We're eliminating the human element from money. So it's not just a separation of government, like state and money. It's a separation of all human beings and over the power of money. And this is huge, man. Like, this is like the world, humanity has never existed, you know, in a system like this. So we don't know how this is going to evolve, except theoretically we know it can only be positive because the abuse is gone, right? So we go back to times where we're actually providing values, building things, you know, bigger families, because now the money's not an issue. There's nobody's waking up to debt, interest rate, and inflation. You know, like, people are living well again and contributing collectively rather than, you know, hating on each other, killing each other, you know, choosing sides. Humanity is supposed to be one side, you know, like one big, nice team, right? And so that is what Bitcoin, you know, the profits are filled for. That is what I see through my lens now when I thought before. So I don't think gold is the future. Those that are spirit holding onto it's because they don't want to learn something new, or they're just stubborn, or they're ego, whatever it is. It'll go back to its utility value at some point in the same way, like, you know, we still ride horses, but, you know, for fun once in a while, but it's definitely not going to replace the car. So gold will still be there, be used for whatever purposes it's needed for, but the way forward is incorruptible money. And whoever still refuses to see that, they're doing themselves a massive disservice.
I think that's a good place to wrap, gents. Hey, Brandon, thank you so much for taking time. Why don't you give a handoff? Tell people where they can find you, follow you, everything you're up to these days.
Yeah, Michael, Tony, thanks for having me on, guys. This has been awesome. We got a lot in here, that's for sure. Brandon_Gentile, that's Twitter handle. Find me on YouTube there, the podcast. We interview the most interesting people, smartest people in the Bitcoin and sound money space. And we try to speak to the average person and make it simple for anyone to understand. So you can find the podcast there. Like I said, Brandon_Gentile on really most all social channels, YouTube, Twitter, et cetera. So thanks, guys.
Yeah, you bet. And hey, by the way, if anyone listening, Brandon is on the podcast today. We're recording. It'll be out tomorrow, though. So go back and look at our channel. And I had him on for a really great chat a week or two ago, right after the Bitcoin conference.
So and the interview,
it's a fun one, man.
I know. I'm excited for that one. And the interview we just did, one of my editor just messaged me this morning. And the one I did with Tony on the podcast is now over 75,000 views. So everyone loves.
Yeah, if you haven't heard that, guys, that's highly, highly recommended. Yep. That was one of my favorite interviews that I had with you about a month ago. So for anyone who hasn't listened to it yet, please check it out. I think there's a lot of value to extract from it.
Thanks, guys.
Love it. All right. For everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. Stick around for another minute. Hear a little bit about the Bitcoin way. In the meantime, gents, great chatting. We'll be in touch. Tony, look forward to catching up with you again next week.
Absolutely, man. See you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, guys. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to the bitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.